Welcome to another episode of Red Hawk Rewind. I'm Tim Carey.
And I'm Dave Meyer. Tim, what'd you do this weekend?
I'm a little disappointed, Dave.
What's that?
We were just practicing like 30 seconds ago, and you were pointing out that I looked nice in my haircut, and I was really hoping that was what you were going to start with, and then you just moved right on.
Well, I mean, look at this thing. It's getting pretty long. I'm not going to lie. Probably as soon as we get done here, I may run over. Sponsorship alert, great clips. I'm looking for a sponsorship, I could use that.
We don't have sponsors for this podcast. What did you want to talk about before I got distracted by the haircuts?
I don't really know. This weekend, did you do anything fun on Saturday? Because let me tell you about my Saturday when you're done.
Go ahead.
Okay. My daughter was in a band competition this weekend.
Okay.
And you can tell me, good father, bad father, I'm not sure. I mean, I think you probably know where this is going. But there were like 20 teams in this competition.
Bands.
Sorry. What did I say? Teams?
Yes.
I'm so used to this sports thing. Anyway, bands are in this competition. They all perform, and then they do awards, but it wasn't the finals. They only took on 10 teams go to the final, and then they do the same performance again,
okay,
and then they vote on the top 10.
Okay.
So one by one, right, it's, and advancing to the finals is so-and-so high school, and we're going. And we're going right, and we're getting to like 8, and Claire, my daughter who's in this band competition, her school has not advanced yet. And so they get to school 9, and so still nothing. We get to the last team, or last
band.
Sorry, band, the last band. If you're there, and you know if you advance, you're there for another 4 hours, or you could go home if they don't advance. If you're the father, what are you rooting for here?
For them to advance because it's my kid.
Okay, so what do you think I'm rooting for?
To go home.
Well, the last school wasn't Claire's school, and we got to go home 4 hours early. So it was a good day on Saturday.
But you're missing the best part of the story because I want to know, did you clap? Did you yell? Did you stand up? Like, what was your reaction when the school was announced that was not Claire's school?
So we got to about school 7 or school 8, and my wife, who's sitting right next to me, starts like, giving me that look, like she knows what's going through my head.
I mean, I know that, like, our audience knows this, yes. So yeah, I can
and
see.
So
that.
We got there, and so I was pretty careful. I just kind of sat there,
like golf clap,
yeah, not even, nope, just sat there. And then we just walked out real quick, didn't even talk about it. We just walked, and it's like, where do I got to pick up Claire? We got to go get her from the band truck or whatever, and off we went.
I did have one thing I want to talk about before we bring in our special guest.
Okay.
Like, I felt like we kind of reached the next level in our working relationship last week. We were in Athens for football, and I don't know if people assume this is what the life of an SID is like, but it actually is. It's like early afternoon, the equipment truck is getting unloaded, you and I are sitting in a Buffalo Wild Wings, and as we're walking in, you're talking to the play-by-play person for ESPN. And I think people might just assume that's kind of what your life is like, but it really is. Like, we're sitting down at B-Dubs, we know we have to be back by X time to get a ride, and you're on the phone, and so I actually got to order lunch for you. And I know that that's not really, like, that momentous a thing, but your lunch order is a little bit complicated. Like, you're putting, like, desert heat on your fries and all this stuff, and it does say that we've gone to B-Dubs a lot too often for lunch. Again, not a sponsor. And I was just kind of proud because I was able to successfully order food for you to eat as you sat there and talked about, like, backup long snappers or whatever things you do with announcers.
It was impressive. You're literally pointing at the menu and I'm just nodding, right? And you know exactly what I want on everything. You did a good job.
Yeah. So I feel like we've arrived a little bit. Anyway, on to things that really matter. Today we are going to bring in Peter Suter, senior guard for Miami men's basketball, off to a 2-0 start, and we'll talk to him next. And welcome back to Red Hawk Rewind. Our special guest today, senior guard from Carmel, Indiana, on the men's basketball team, Peter Suter. Great to have you here, Peter.
Great to be here, man. Thanks for having me.
All right, Pete, let's just get us started. Just a couple games in, but how do you feel like the team's looking so far?
I mean, it's obviously super early. We got some things to work out. We want to be playing our best in March during the MAC tournament. But I think we're gelling really well. Our connectivity is really good. Even our last game against Trinity Christian, I know they're not a D1 opponent, but I think we handled that approach super maturely as a collective. Even in practices, we stayed locked in and treated it like it was a really good, really hard game.
I know it's something that you guys have talked about a good bit, even like with the media, but coming in with preseason polls, picking you first or second, depending on the poll, like kind of that idea of people gunning for you this year, coming off your success last year. Does that change anything in your approach, and what has been kind of the message to the team, you know, from that maturity perspective of like how to handle the spotlight, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, coming from last year, I mean, we had something to prove. We felt like we knew we were good in the summer. And we were 6 or 7, I think, in some different preseason rankings. But this year, I mean, we're 2, 1, 2. Like, we're getting some 1 votes. We got a couple first-team All-MAC guys. I mean, we do have something to prove. I'm not gonna take away from that. But it's different coming with a target on your back. I mean, every single team you play, non-conference and conference, you're going to get their best shot, regardless of what it is. Even in our scrimmages, we're going to get the best shot. So you just got to be ready at all times, stay consistent every single day. Practice, lift, you can't let up.
Do you care if you're the hunter or the hunted? Because I mean, it has changed over the last year.
That's a good question, actually, because usually you like to be the hunter, you want to be the one on attack. But us being 2, we still have something to attack. We still want, every single person in our conference wants to win the MAC championship, so that's our main goal.
You see that mantra, even like the hashtag on social media, the unfinished business. I mean, what does, like, put that into words, what does that mean to you, and kind of how much is that talked about in a day-to-day?
To be honest, we don't talk about it much in a day-to-day, but it's definitely in the back of our minds. I mean, we don't necessarily use the words unfinished business, I guess, all the time, but after the MAC championship last year, it definitely didn't feel good. That's all I got to say. I mean, it left a taste in our mouth in that locker room a couple of weeks after, months after. I mean, it didn't feel good at all. So, like you said, we definitely have some unfinished business this year.
I mean, it's been a while since March happened, but do you still wake up and still think about that game a little bit?
I wouldn't say I wake up and think about the game like it's just nonstop in my head, but sometimes you see some highlights on Twitter, and sometimes you think about the game. So that's just how it is. I mean, even I'll go back to my high school sectionals when I lost my senior year. I mean, I still think about it. It doesn't hurt as bad, obviously. I'm over it, but, I mean, you still have the memories.
What have been your goals for you during the offseason coming into this? I mean, you know, first team All-MAC, 1 outlet, even preseason player of the year. Like, what have you been looking to improve and develop as you take your game to this next level?
I'm going to say, like, being more of a point guard almost sometimes. I mean, we lost Makai Cooper, our starting point guard. Evan's great. Luke's great. Trey Perry, our freshman, great. But being more of a leader for those guys, you know, help them. We have 5 new freshmen this year too. Last year we only had 1, so – you know, just getting those guys ready for conference play, because non-conference is a lot different than conference. It's a different feeling. Like, as soon as the first conference game is, the team we're playing couldn't have won 1 non-conference, but it doesn't matter. Like, they see everything as 0-0. Like, this is a whole new season almost. So getting those guys ready, and then individually for me, I would just say improving all aspects as well: shooting, ball handling, playmaking, making right decisions, staying strong, athletic, everything like that.
Okay, I know we just kind of breezed over the start to the year here, but you've been playing basketball probably a long time. Have you ever beaten a team by 80 points before?
I actually have. So I think it was my freshman or sophomore year at Bellarmine University. Okay. We played Alice Lloyd at home, and I think we hit like 20 and 21 threes like we did the other day, and we won by like 75 to 80. Yeah, it's crazy. It's a great feeling, obviously, when you're on the bench and everything feels like it's going in. Everything's going right. So it's a lot of fun.
Backtracking, what about Old Dominion? I mean, a team that comes in with some brand recognition there in the MAC Sunbelt Challenge, and they got off to a good start. You come from behind. Like, what did you learn about your team from that game?
We can handle adversity, and that's the number one thing when you're going into a season is, like, if you play 3 or 4 games in your non-conference and you win by 15 to 20 every game, you never know what that feeling is going to be like when somebody does punch you in the face. Like, when somebody comes out on a 14-0 run and you're not hitting any shots and it just feels like nothing's really going your way, can you go into halftime and then come out and then act like nothing's happened, still be connected as a group, still share the ball, move the ball? And I think we did an excellent job of that. It's just not giving up, handling adversity, and then just keep going and end it out with a win.
All right, I got a question here and then a follow-up with that. Set the record straight. I watch your games. Is it Pete? Is it Peter? When you're playing on the court, like, you might have one name at home. I deal with that with Dave and David. When I go home, my parents call me David. Everybody else calls me David. When you're playing on the court, is it Pete or Peter?
I would say it's Pete. I would say in the more basketball world, it's Pete. I mean, if you call me Peter, you're not going to hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to be honest. But I would say, yeah, my family side more calls me Peter. And then the basketball world, my whole life, it's been Pete.
Huh. So when you were Peter at home, when did you start playing basketball?
First grade, second grade.
What do you remember about when you first started getting going?
I remember that my dad really wanted me to play basketball. I mean, he's been great through the whole process as well. Same with my mom. I mean, my mom tells me stories when I was a little kid and I don't remember. She would show me Pete Maravich tapes and just little things like that. Like, they're always on my side. They support me in everything I do. They want me to be successful. But yeah, I just remember my whole family, every single person around me just wanting me to strive. And they put me with the best programs since I was little. And it's paid off.
In Indiana, is that kind of a thing? Like, you grow up kind of out of the cradle and there's like a hoop in the yard or something?
I would say so. I mean, all of my friends played basketball too. Some of them went to other sports in high school, but the main sport when we were all young was when we hung out, we played basketball day and night. It doesn't matter if it's in my driveway, I always used to complain to my parents, I want a gorilla hoop, a nice gorilla hoop that I can dunk on and move it to 7 foot. My hoop at home is a tall 10-foot rim, can't move, it's all rusty, has a chain net. I mean, it's the real deal, though, and my dad never wanted to change it. So I guess it worked out.
You mentioned Pete Maravich. Are you named after him?
Not after him. My grandfather's name is Pete, and then my great-grandfather's name is Peter as well. So I'm technically the third, I guess. but they named – it's just kind of like a family thing, but it's definitely – I get a lot of Pistol Pete's every now and then, so it falls down.
I was looking through the stats. I don't know if you know this or not, but it's pretty early. 2 games in, you've only been playing like 20 minutes a game so far, whatever. But you're shooting 75% from the floor and 75% from the three-point line and 75% from the foul. Like, that seems hard to do.
It is hard to do. Like you said, it's only 2 games, so it's not a lot of stats and data. But, I mean, it is wild. It reminds me of Luke Skowjack last year through 8 games. I mean, he was shooting 75% from three, I think like 75% from the three. Like, he was going crazy last year. So it reminds me of that, but it is really cool to start off a season like that.
So your next game is at Air Force. Mm-hmm. I feel like they may have you circled on the scouting report just a little bit. Last year you play Air Force here, 42 points.
Yep.
The stat of the day, Dave, you ready for this?
Yeah.
17 made field goals. So there's only 3 players in Miami history to ever make more shots in a game than Pete did against Air Force. Ron Harper, Wally Szczerbiak, and Charlie Coles. Like, that's pretty good company.
That I mean, it's obviously super cool. I mean, that's the most points I've ever scored. And it's awesome to do it again against a D1 opponent. But, yeah, like you said, we play Air Force. I'm super excited to get down there. It's going to be super cool. The elevation is going to be different. We're going down there, I think, a day or two earlier just to get used to it. But like you said, I mean, just a super cool game last year, and I'm just excited to play them again this year.
So what do you think it says on the scouting report for you?
Don't let them go right. That's what I think. I mean, I didn't hit a lot of threes. I think I hit 3.
I think it was 3, yeah.
3 threes, but yeah, I think it's what a lot of people have on their scouting report, to be honest.
Tim, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
So Pete was talking about how his dad really wanted him to play basketball. Mm-hmm. Did your parents ever want you to play sports? I know you're a big music guy, but did they ever want you to play sports?
I grew up playing sports, but it was on a very, like, small scale. I mean, club rec sports, homeschool sport, like, you know, club sports kind of thing. So, but my mom played basketball in college, so, you know, we were a sports family to an extent.
Yeah, well, Pete, we'll have to tell you, off the air, like, my dad wanted me to be a baseball player growing up, so I know that feeling.
Yeah.
And holy moly, it was interesting.
It is interesting.
For those of us that don't have that kind of athletic ability and are never going to have that experience, like, we do wonder. I mean, does it feel like you could just throw the ball in the ocean at that? I mean, like, you're 4 minutes in, you're 12 minutes into that game. It's like, okay, this is going to be one of those kind of games for me. How does it feel to actually live that? Because I will never know.
You're talking about the 42-point game? That's a good question, because I had no clue what it felt like going into it almost. But, like, I don't know. Like, it feels like every game at the start. I actually remember it very vividly. Like, usually when you're a basketball player and you're getting into games, when you hit your first shot, it's like, oh, I hit my first shot. Like, this could be a game I get 25 or 30. And I went for a right-hand layup, and I just missed it completely. I was like, oh, my gosh, not again. And then the next 5 went in. So it's just like you got to stay consistent, and then – to be honest, it helps when your teammates are, like, they're hyping you up through it. Like, I made a nice move and hit it like a fadeaway jump shot, and, like, 4 dudes on the court of my team was like, that's nice, Pete, keep going. And I'm like, that, just, like, things like that to boost your confidence. And then all of a sudden you look at the scoreboard in halftime and you got, like, 22. You're like, oh, well, technically, statistically, I'm on pace for 44. So you just keep going and just keep being aggressive consistently. So it's, like I said, it's all for my team. It's all to my teammates.
You ended with 42. Are you saying the second half was a letdown?
I guess I did actually did miss like 4 free throws in the last 4 to 5 minutes. I almost sold my 40-point game.
I'm a was a big Lakers fan and watching Kobe, and people always talk about the 81-point game. But in my mind, I'm like, I saw him miss shots in that game that he would normally make, but he would really get from the free throw line. I'm like, the game where he had 62 through three quarters and outscored Dallas by himself, like, that's still going to be my favorite one.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I always think about, like, a starting pitcher in baseball. They're throwing a no-hitter, right? Nobody wants to sit next to him. Nobody wants to talk with him.
Yeah.
You saying, so you're – I know you didn't – you played, like, 38 minutes in that game or something, right? So it's not like you had a ton of time to sit on the bench, but – you said your teammates are actually still talking to you even when it's going like that?
Yeah, like I actually remember specifically when I'm at like 36 to 37 points and I'm getting fouled like twice. Obviously, the ball's in my hands. I'm getting fouled and I go to the free throw line. I look over and I see like Eli Yofan and Dan Lewis covering their mouths laughing. Because I'm like, if I could sell this. Like if I miss these two, realistically, like I could not – I could like get like 39 points or something, and I do not want that. Like nobody on the bench wanted that, obviously, but it's just funny how like every single person's thinking about it. Everybody wants it for you at the same time, but I mean, it's just a really cool feeling.
We talked about kind of that Miami royalty being in some of the, you know, conversation with some of those names. I know this year too, you also received the Daryl Hedrick Award. You got to go out and be the Hedrick family at football or whatever. Yep. Like, what did that award mean to you, and kind of what just your relationship with Miami basketball since you've been here?
I mean, Miami basketball, it's the best. I mean, it's coaching staff to managers to the community around us. I mean, I remember, some games aren't going to be as packed. That's just how it is right now. Completely fine. But our main goal is to get these stands filled. And the only way to do that is to win. So you have to keep winning at home, winning away, promoting it. But like you said, I mean, the awards and accolades I get, they're awesome. I'm not going to say they're not. I'm honored to get them. But realistically, we have to keep winning. I'm not going to get any awards if we lose. So that's the main thing. And then about Miami basketball, like I said, from the coaching staff to managers, every single person's a great person, and every single person loves each other, like, genuinely, and will do everything to win, like I said.
Like, okay, the portal, it's a strange place right now, right? I think here we get very caught up with when people leave and they go to some other place and do really well. Obviously, you came here from Bellarmine. Just talk to us a little bit about that process and how it was, and why did you decide to leave Bellarmine?
Yeah, so I decided to leave Bellarmine. I mean, we weren't that good, obviously, to be honest, but I just needed something different. I could feel that the people there I loved. I was having a great time with my coaches, with the community there. The Louisville community was awesome, my teammates. But the basketball field, I just didn't, like, feel – I don't know. It felt different. It felt off. I couldn't really describe it. So I talked to my family. I talked to every single person in my support circle. And I actually decided literally like the last 3 days to enter the portal just because I didn't really want to. Like, I liked Bellarmine. And the portal's great. As soon as I enter it, I mean, my phone – there was like 30 coaches calling within the next 20 minutes. I was like, this is not what I want. Like, I did not want this. It was super overwhelming. But so my dad mainly, he's the one that helped me narrow down to schools. Miami obviously was up there. I went to Wright State as well. Loved Wright State. The coaching staff there is amazing. But, yeah, when I came to Miami, obviously the campus, everything blew me away. It's my first time here. I heard a bunch about it. And then when I just met with the coaching staff, I was only here for about an hour and a half, and I committed on the spot.
The process, it's just crazy.
It's insane.
So how hard was it for one, you kind of hinted on it, but when you decided to put your name in the portal, like, how hard is that to say, I'm just going to pick up my life and we're just going to move and in the next couple of days?
Yeah, I mean, to enter the portal, like, you, if you really decided to enter the portal, obviously I met with my coach out of respect. I didn't just do it. But you'd be in the portal in 5 minutes, 5 to 10 minutes, and then it's just go. It's just someone's refreshing the page and they see your name and they're like, boom, I get his phone number, the call, text, doesn't matter, at all levels too. Like, it doesn't matter, not just D1, D2, anybody. So, I mean, it could be the head coach could call you from somewhere and then their three assistants also call you from somewhere, like, not knowing that the head coach has called you. Like, it's just, it's crazy how, like, it's just like a shark pool and everybody just, it's super overwhelming for kids, in my opinion. But like you said, you have to have a good support circle just to help you through it.
And then, I mean, when you're in high school and you decide to commit to Bellarmine, I'm sure that was a much longer process, right? Yeah. Probably months and months. And now Miami calls, you come visit, and you said 90 minutes later, all right, I guess this is the place.
I came here, and I just remember I was in the car with my mom and my dad, and the place is obviously beautiful. Mom loved it. She loved how the school's great, too. She likes it. My dad's mainly focused on the basketball. My mom's the opposite. She focuses on everything else just to make sure I'm good in life. But, yeah, I mean, my mom loved it. And then when I was in the film room, Coach Steele and all of them were giving their little speech about like how they could be good and like how I could fit in. And I looked at my dad and I was just like nodding my head, and he was like, yeah. And he was, Coach Steele was like, what'd you think? And I was like, I want to commit.
That's crazy.
It's that simple. Yeah.
What was it about that pitch that you're like, yeah, that's how I fit, or that resonated with you from a basketball perspective?
That's a good question. They brought up a lot of things that I like really enjoy in basketball. So for a wing slash guard, someone who can play multiple positions, that was probably the main thing for me. I know Coach Steele thrives that. He likes to play guys that can defend the 1-4 and then also play the 1-4. So I thought I fit that perfectly. But then also he kept bringing up just like the culture aspect and how he just wants to get that better. Like from his first year, it wasn't the same. And he was honest with me. He's like, I'm not going to lie to you. Like, it was not good. And every single year it's improved, though. And I also knew Evan Upsaro just from Kentucky. I knew Bellarmine wanted him. That's how I kind of knew him. And I knew he was a dog. And that's a point guard I want to play with, to be honest. And so just knowing some of the guys, I met Brent Byers when I was here as well, just for a good 5 minutes. Could tell he was a good dude, tall. They knew he could shoot. I was like, okay, that's another good piece. So, I mean, just coming here, everything just started to align almost. And then when I met the meeting, they started talking about, like, how I could improve. And, like, every single visit I went on, it was like they wanted me to feel good almost. They wanted me to be like, oh, this is the spot for you. But when I went in there, like, the first thing they did was show me film, like, how I was bad. Like, my turnovers, my left hand sometimes, my shooting wasn't great when I was at Bellarmine. So, like, he just – I don't know. He showed me things that – he was immediately coaching me. And I just really liked that. And then he showed me the good things, obviously, every coach does on a visit. But that's the number one thing that I remember when he showed me the things I need to work on.
I feel like – I mean, the scoring kind of jumps off the page. But, yeah. Like, when I went back and read the release from your signing here to transfer – he used the phrase stat sheet stuffer. And I think that's true. I think in Cleveland really showed that too. I mean, you nearly had a triple double one, you know, your 11 rebounds or whatever in the other game. Like, how much pride do you take in that kind of being well-rounded as a basketball player and doing a lot of things well?
It's just who I am. It's just how I play. To be honest, I've played like that since I've been in second grade, but it's also, it goes back to, like I said, I mean, my dad's not a crazy person. I want you guys to think that.
I know the feeling.
He's a good guy. He's a good, like he's not overly like, you need to get in the driveway and shoot. Like, he's, if I told him I didn't want to play basketball, he'd be completely fine with it, if I think.
Tim, can we get him on the phone real quick?
Yeah, we're not going to test that right now. Well, Dave's sitting over there looking at me, and he's like thinking some of the same things about, like, you know, yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, like, he's, it's just like every single time, I know those games when you don't play well and you're a middle school kid, like, your dad's going to have a little talk with you, whatever. But every game I didn't shoot well, he didn't get, like, it wasn't like he was mad. He was mad when I gave up and, like, didn't play hard and didn't dive on the floor and, like, just give it my all, basically. That's when he really got – so I guess it just became, like, a habit through that almost. But, I mean, it's everything. Evan Upsaro does the same thing. I mean, Evan Upsaro, I think he's hurt every single time he lands on the floor almost. Like, he hits the floor so hard because he plays so hard. And just, like, guys like that, like, it feeds off other people too. Like, it helps other people do the same thing. And, like, it becomes, like, your identity almost, your culture. When you have 3 or 4 guys playing like that on the floor, like, it's – You can win by not hitting shots, and it's awesome.
All right, when Tim mentioned that you almost had a triple double, yeah. I thought I saw you roll your eyes. All right, so
I'm just saying because I've never had a triple double ever in my career, and I'm not like striving for it, but it's a cool thing.
Heck
obviously,
yeah.
Miami's had like one all time.
The one time I get 10 assists and 10 rebounds, I'm like 1-for-8 from the field, missed like 3 wide open layups. I'm like, oh my gosh, I actually just sold my triple double. But it was crazy.
How did you decide what you were going to study at Miami, and what do you hope to do with that whenever basketball's done?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's been tough. My dad's in the business world. I enjoy business. Just all different worlds. I know there's a bunch, but I also love basketball, and I can't really see myself after college just immediately just hanging up the shoes and be like, I'm done. I feel like I got to be around it for at least a year or something, even like if I'm a low assistant or I don't know. But yeah, I mean, I want to get into the business world when I'm older, 100% after basketball is all done. And then right after college, when I think it's done, I think I'm going to try to play professionally somewhere, wherever that is. I don't really know how it works. I got to ask some people, but overseas, G League, whatever the option is. But if I have that type of opportunity, like I can't just turn that down. My younger self would be mad at me if I turned that down.
I tell people all the time, like, play until you can't play, right? Because once you're done, you're old like Tim.
I'm going to want to play.
Yeah. Yeah.
How old are you? No. For fun, when you get free time, if anything, what do you like to do? I heard maybe read video games, like kind of give us the, you know, behind the scenes if you got a little time for yourself.
Yeah, definitely video games. I mean, I think it's a cool thing. Plus, I can talk to my friends back at home and stuff like that. It's good to reconnect with them. Other than that, I like to read, watch mid-major basketball. That's the best thing. Like me, Evan, I live with Evan and Brant and Almar. I mean, we'll be on the couch watching mid-major basketball. It doesn't matter what level for 4 to 5 hours. Just loving the kid. Like, it's just so – some people don't understand that, like, mid-major basketball is, like, the best thing to watch, in my opinion. I don't know. Just because you can see the different cultures and stuff like that. It's super cool. But I would say video games, reading, watching basketball, and then I'm a big TV shows person too. I think there's, like, 4 or 5 of our teammates. We were watching Blacklist together for, like, a month, just trying to stay on the same page, and we're all talking about it and stuff like that. So we just go through shows and stuff just to stay connected.
I have to get on that for a second because, like, I'm not necessarily a big TV show person, but I have watched Blacklist, and that's one of those shows that I feel like I want them to have figured it out before they started. And then it's like, well, you never know, is the show going to go 2 years or 4 years or 8 years? And that makes it really hard because then you want to come back and say, well, remember what you did in season 3? And they're like, yeah, but we didn't know if it was going to go to season 7 at that point. Like, it's hard for me to get invested enough because of that.
Yeah, that's totally fair. I'm a big shows guy just because I like to predict it almost. Like, it's bad. It's a bad habit, especially when you're watching with people, because then some people don't like that. But like, when I'm watching, like, the first season, I'm like, oh, I already know what's going to happen. And then in season 2 and 3, and I could be completely wrong, but I think it's, like, a little fun game almost to predict the TV show.
Tim, we're doing pretty good on time. Is it game time yet, or do I have time for some more questions?
Did you tell Pete that we do a game on every – I don't know if you've watched this a lot, but we have every episode, we have a game that we pit Dave against our special guest. Okay. So I came prepared with a game. He doesn't know what it is. Okay. Just let me see what I've got here.
If the first question is, have you ever had a triple-double? I know
I'm going to lie.
He's got a better chance this year than you do.
I guess.
Okay. So we're just going to go back and forth until somebody gets a strike. Pretty simple. There's no real categories. I was trying to think of things that might be, like, slightly related to you or to life or to basketball, but who knows. So we're going to start with... Let's see. You're from Indiana, which is, I know, a big state for basketball. You're playing in Ohio. So we're just going to do... Name a Division I college basketball program in Indiana or Ohio. So I'm going to give you Miami. That's a free one.
We're just
we're
like
just back and forth until you strike out. Dave's
terrible at this.
I'm not good at this either.
I'll see.
We can go.
Oh, am I going first?
You're going first.
You already said Miami.
Miami does not count.
And
a Division I basketball program in Indiana or Ohio.
Okay.
All right. Kent State.
Indiana University.
Akron.
Purdue University.
I'm starting in Ohio.
I didn't want to stack it too much against you. I feel like that's fair. Yeah.
Toledo.
Bowling Green.
No. Stay over in Indiana. Don't be
coming.
I
take some of
that's
yours.
That's all I know. That's all I know.
He's predicting your next move, see?
I guess I'll say UC. That hurts to say, but.
Xavier.
OU.
IUPUI.
Now IU Indy, but yes.
Same, yeah.
No, that's a strike.
Nope.
No, that's not a strike.
I'm the official scorer.
Wait, it only has
Ohio
to be,
State.
It can be D. It has to be D1.
Has to be D1.
Oh God.
5, 4.
Chill.
3, 2, 1.
Strike. That's fine. I'll take that.
I wanted to put like a catchphrase timer. I actually did find one where it could like be beeping and add some stress to the proceedings, but the battery didn't work. So.
it was a struggle this morning. We were really trying hard to get this thing to work.
How long is your home winning streak? 17 games now.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty impressive. List of teams Miami basketball has beaten during the current 17-game home win streak. Pete, you can start.
Air Force.
Bowling Green. Is that right?
Yes.
This is not fair.
Trinity Christian, that's what we just
played? Yeah, take the most recent one. Make him work, yeah.
Man, I am so... So just to be clear, I... cover women's basketball here in Miami, mm-hmm. not men. Okay,
they're playing the same conference, right?
Yeah,
just checking.
I get it, but I don't really know for sure.
The odds are with you.
Did you say home win streak?
Yes.
Kent State.
Yes.
Old Dominion.
Yes.
We beat Toledo here last year, right?
Yes.
Western Michigan.
Yes.
Eastern Michigan.
Oh, I shouldn't have said West. That was too easy cause, just because they're right there. Ohio.
Central?
No.
No.
All right. Tied 1-1. This is hard.
Thank you. You were talking about, you know, moving on to play basketball, whatever level. We'll go NBA franchises. You're first.
NBA franchises. Pistons.
Pacers.
Knicks.
Nets.
Spurs.
Bucks.
I can't even cross them off that fast. I'm giving up.
Hornets.
Warriors.
Lakers.
Ooh, I was going to say Lakers. Why am I blanking? Bulls.
Mavericks.
Oh, see, now he's ahead of me. You know what I mean? Like,
you were slower.
He's thinking while I'm thinking. Yeah. I said Bulls.
Three.
Heat.
Uh-oh.
You're supposed to think your next one.
I know. I was too busy talking smack. I don't know.
I had to throw him off a little bit.
I give up.
This is my office life, too. Like, I try and get things done. No, I just
that's a strike.
Last one.
All right.
Majors that Miami student athletes have as of summer. Any major that a Miami student athlete has.
Okay. SLAM, sports management.
That was what I was going to say. Yeah. Comms.
Finance.
Business.
Accounting.
Econ.
Biology.
Are we getting these right?
Yeah, close enough. Like, I'm not accounting versus accountancy. Yeah, but yeah.
Biology.
Didn't you say biology?
I just said biology.
Straight.
You did.
I literally just said
biology. I was too busy making fun of Tim.
Yeah. Okay, you lose.
That's my daughter's major. It's the only reason it came in my head.
Pretty normal. Last question of the podcast. We like to do some kind of parting advice, so to speak. So if a young kid is watching this and wants to be where you are someday, playing college basketball, all the things that go with that, what kind of advice would you give somebody who looks up to you?
Yeah, I'm going to say, especially for the younger kids, like in middle school or something like that, like just don't get down. Like literally just don't get down. I mean, I remember me as a kid, like, I mean, I still went out and played football, soccer, baseball. Like, you don't have to just focus on one sport every day, because that's how you're going to get burnout, in my opinion, is when you do it every single day. Like, I know, like, I would joke about my dad being on me about basketball, but, I mean, I was still outside playing basketball, baseball. I played baseball was my favorite sport growing up, too, even throughout middle school. And then I was just a little better at basketball. So I would just say don't give up. I mean, it's going to go by fast. Just know that, especially when you get to high school. Like, I feel like I remember last year was my freshman year in high school. It's flown by. So just don't give up and don't get down on yourself, especially when things aren't going your way.
All right. Well said, Pete. Thanks again for joining us. Yeah. Good luck on Saturday. We're expecting a new career high. So.
Thank you. Thank you.
And then home games coming up next week, the 20th against Mercyhurst, 23rd against Arkansas Pine Bluff, and we'll see you at Millett.